Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me from the screen today's sermon title, Seeing Things Clearly, based on our gospel reading from John 1, especially verse 29. The next day, John the Baptizer saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I invite you to open up your service folder, find the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Seeing Things Clearly. I wonder if you remember a TV commercial that has been running for quite a few years about drinking alcohol and driving a car. It was quite a graphic commercial and got the point across quite clearly. In this commercial, you are looking through the eyes of the driver of the car. You begin with clear vision, everything in focus. Then, after each drink is consumed, your vision gets worse and worse. Things get progressively blurry. You claim to have no problem driving, but you can barely make out what is in front of you clearly through the windshield. Soon, there's a loud crash. And besides the obvious warning about the stupidity of drinking alcohol and driving, the point is made clear. Seeing things clearly is important for each of us. Seeing things clearly is what this John chapter 1 gospel reading and sermon text is about today. Note these verses. Verse 29, Behold, the Lamb of God. Verse 32, John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend. Verse 34, I have seen and bore witness. 35, he looked at Jesus. 36, behold the Lamb of God. 38, Jesus turned and saw them and said, What are you seeking? 39, Jesus said, Come and you will see. What's the story behind this look and see passage of the Bible? At the time of John the Baptizer, people were looking for and hoping for a Savior, a Messiah, one who would come and fulfill all of the Old Testament promises. Would he ever come? And one day, John the Baptizer, as he was baptizing people in the Jordan River, looked up. And John said those wonderful words. Pointing at Jesus, John said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Some people began to follow Jesus, and he asked them a question. What are you looking for? What do you seek? And then he gave an invitation. Come, and you will see. Some went, some saw, came to faith in Jesus. And one example in our gospel reading is Andrew bringing his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. Peter soon became Jesus' chief disciple. Peter soon became the leader of the New Testament church. But many others at that time would not see, would not follow, would not put their faith in Jesus. Why? Well, let me ask you, why won't some people today, outside of the church, see and trust in Jesus? Note your sermon outline if you care. Some people were never raised in a Christian home. They were never brought by their parents to Sunday school and confirmation. Today in confirmation class, I recounted the story with our class about how our family, how I was called to the Christian faith at age 12, never been in church in my life, raised in a non-Christian family. God used a tragedy in our household to bring our whole family into saving faith. But many people today, you know them, weren't raised in a Christian home, were brought by their parents to Sunday school and confirmation. You have friends and relatives like that. Your loving and humble job is this, to say to them, come and see. Come with me and see. Come and see my Jesus. Some people have heard God's word, maybe even in the past been involved in the church, but have been seduced by the devil. The lies of godless people, the empty values in the world in which we live. And they say things like this: oh, we used to be faithful in coming to God's house, but you see, now our lives are just too full. We are just too busy to squeeze God into our busy, busy lives. I can think of hardly anything more sad. Some people have been hurt by the church. Some people have been hurt by the church or by individual Christians or family members. And they use that as their reason for turning their back on God. Yes, the church, some believers and some family members have made mistakes and need to ask forgiveness. Let me ask you this morning, are you one who needs to ask forgiveness? Are you aware of anyone who has been hurt? Let me know, as your pastor, if I may be of help to you. Whatever the reason, the words of Saint Augustine ring true. Augustine said, O God, the heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. Now, what gets in the way of people inside the church clearly seeing Jesus? One problem can be treating Sunday morning just as going to church. A custom, a habit, a nice thing to do, instead of seeing worship as an encounter with the holy and almighty God who makes a claim on my daily life. Another problem is a habitual absence from Bible study and fellowship with other believers. That place where the Holy Spirit of God is at work to open eyes, change hearts, and help us grow up in our faith. Another problem can be a stubborn refusal to stop that unholy habit, behavior, or lifestyle that's putting up a wall between you and God. Yet another problem is using prayer as a last resort. Using prayer as the last thing we do, instead of a daily listening to God and conversing with our loving Heavenly Father. By treating prayer in this way, as long as the other problems I've mentioned also, we can cut off or weaken our life-giving connection with our Savior. The story is told of a missionary in Africa who was given a car to help him with his extensive missionary travels. After a few months, though, the car refused to start. He looked under the hood, but he could find nothing wrong because, like me, he knew nothing about cars. Just ask Jeff. But this missionary discovered that if he got help from other people to push the car downhill while he was engaging the clutch, the car would start. He endured over 2 years of this. And after 2 years, his replacement missionary arrived. The missionary who was leaving explained to the new guy how to start the car. And the new guy looked under the hood for just a moment and said, the only problem that your car won't start is this. The battery cable has become disconnected. And once the cable was reconnected, the key turned, the car roared back to life. My friends, if you were not as excited about the things of God as you used to be, if you feel like you're just going through the motions in your spiritual life, if you wonder why God seems far away, perhaps it is because you are not as in touch with God as you used to be. If your cable is loose and you find yourself disconnected from God, in prayer simply say, "Dear Lord, show me how I have become disconnected from you. Dear Lord, you please reconnect me. Help me to see clearly what is really important in life, what really is only lasting and eternal." I have some good news for you this morning. Are you ready for some good news? Nothing can keep our Savior from coming to you. This is the message of the entire Bible. He came to our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they were hiding because of their guilt and shame. And he came to them and asked them a loving question. Where are you? In the parable of the prodigal son, God, who is portrayed in the parable as the father of the runaway boy, saw the boy from a distance. And in Luke 15, we are told in verse 20, when the son was afar off, the father went running to him, threw his arms around him, kissed him on the neck and said, "You are my son. Welcome home. God goes to us." In Luke 19, we read the story of Zacchaeus, one of my heroes in the Bible. It says Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was a cheating tax collector. And because he was so short, he had to climb up a tree when Jesus came by in a crowd. And Jesus came to where this man was. Jesus didn't wait for him to come to him. Jesus came to where he was. And loving this unlovable man, Jesus called up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, for I must come to your house for dinner today." There are so many examples in Holy Scripture of our Lord coming to us to reconnect us, to bring us back to himself. That's the kind of God we have. One last Bible passage about this. Romans 5, 6 and 7. Paul writes, "You see, at just the right time, while we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Did you hear that? The Bible doesn't say, clean up your act, get your life together, then God will have something to do with you. The story of the Scripture is God runs to us. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. What a gift. At just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love for us. God demonstrates his love for us. God demonstrates his love for us. This is the nature of God. This is what God is all about. Now let me ask you today, as God's people, what are we to be all about? Our joyful task is to love others and so help them see clearly the love of God for them. This is what Andrew in our gospel lesson did for today. Did you hear how the gospel lesson ended? Listen to what it says. One of the two who heard John the Baptizer speak followed Jesus. He was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "Come, we have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. You see, when our eyes are opened and we see clearly who Jesus is and how much he loves us, when our hearts are filled with his love, we cannot help but love others in his name and demonstrate his love for them. If you're following your sermon outline, we're at the closing story, demonstrating God's love. Beautiful story is told of a grade school teacher named Miss Thompson. In her classroom, she had a little boy named Teddy Stallard. Miss Thompson simply did not like Teddy Stallard. He came to school every day dirty. He didn't listen in class. He didn't care about his schoolwork. He just stared out the classroom window. This was grade four. There were times, Miss Thompson said, when she just enjoyed putting a great big F in red letters over any of his papers. Then she took a look at his school record from previous years, and here's how it read. Grade one. Teddy tries hard, but he has a bad home situation. Grade two. Teddy's mother is very ill. He gets little help at home. Grade three. Teddy's mother died. He doesn't pay attention in class. Grade four, in Miss Thompson's class, Teddy does not care about school. At Christmas time, Miss Thompson's class had a party, and all the children brought their teacher a gift. When she got to Teddy's gift, it was a half-empty bottle of cheap perfume, and all the kids were laughing at this gift. While the rest of the kids were laughing, at least Miss Thompson had the common sense to dab some of the perfume behind her ears and tell the children, "Doesn't this smell so nice?" Teddy said, "That was my mama's favorite perfume." When the school day was over, Teddy stayed behind in class to tell Miss Thompson how glad he was that she liked his mama's perfume. When Teddy left, Miss Thompson fell to her knees and asked God to forgive her for the way she'd been treating Teddy. She asked God to fill her heart with love for Teddy Stallard and for all the Teddy Stallards in her life. And the rest of the year, she gave that little boy the love and attention he needed, and it made a big difference. Teddy moved away. She didn't hear from him for many years, but 4 years later, she received a letter, and it read, "Dear Miss Thompson, I want you to be the first to know I'll be graduating number two in my high school class. Love, Teddy Stallard." 4 years later, another letter. "Dear Miss Thompson, I want you to be the first to know I'll be graduating from university. Love, Teddy Stallard." And 4 years later, another letter. "Dear Miss Thompson, I just finished medical school. As of today, I am Theodore Stallard, M.D. How about that? And next month, Miss Thompson, I'm getting married. Would you sit where my mother would have sat at the wedding? Dad passed away, and now you're the only family I have. Love, Teddy Stallard." Well, Miss Thompson did just that. She sat in the place of honor at Teddy's wedding. She had made a difference in Teddy's life. The love of God in her life, shared with others, made a big difference. Dear Lord, today, open our eyes that we might see clearly your great love for us, and then use us to open the eyes of others, that they might see clearly your great love for them. In the name of Jesus. Amen.